Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're getting started here today. I want to talk about the war we are in. The war we are in. Say that with me. The war we are in. I have been going through the book of Acts on just to make sure we're hitting on all pistons as far as preaching the actual gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would like to springboard out of Acts chapter 10 and some things that Peter says in his presentation of the gospel. You'll remember this. But let me just go ahead and let me pray a little prayer here with us. Father, I ask that every heart be opened to a fresh encouragement and to a change that you're calling us to become more like you today. That we would be available for the transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to work in us. And I do ask that you would, as you're confronting things in me, very lovingly, graciously, mercifully, helping me go deeper in how you perceive what we're to be about. I ask that you would help our hearts come to places of relief and release into all that you're about today, for this day, in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you were a real pill before you came to the Lord and people saw you coming and thought, I don't know about that? Peter was at the, he was summoned by Cornelius. The story goes he was on the roof of a house. God was giving him a vision. Being a Jew, he didn't need unclean food. The Lord was, and they had the whole thing, what's kosher, what's not. These sheets came down, went up three times, and there was stuff on there that, like bacon. And the Lord was saying, eat the bacon. And Peter go, I can't eat the bacon after three times. I think he got it. But the Gentiles were considered bacon. They were considered unclean. And aren't you glad us Gentiles can eat bacon? Okay. You can wrap stuff in bacon. It makes it better. So anyway. So Cornelius says to him, he gets to his house, says, 4 days ago after about this hour, I was praying in my house in the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. And therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opened his mouth. And this is the second time Peter speaks on the day of Pentecost. This is now preaching the gospel, what they preached. And what's really wonderful, I'll get to maybe a thing or two in here, but I want us to embrace this as we walk through this and see some dynamic components that I believe can change you and I. I have a deep passion about this. Because I think I've been misled in certain things, and clarity is coming. And I want us to just behold a few things here. Peter says, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. High five somebody. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. For as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now, he's got this context he's got to explain. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. And they would always do this thing and bring John the Baptist in because he had this validation. He came heralding that Jesus was going to come, and everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about it. So they bring John in. And John proclaimed, and he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now that's the verse we're going to camp on after we leave this, and we're going to go and march through a little bit with that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Anybody in here besides me was oppressed by the devil need to go through some healing that Jesus brought to you? And we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And here's the gospel. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Can you believe the power that was just reverberating in the room? And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And here's the it caps off always with this. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now here's the thing that really bugs me. He didn't define what sins. How many of you have heard? You got to get them good and lost before you get them good and saved. That's not your job. Oh, that's not your job. The world is sick of a critical church that points out their sin. And if Peter didn't do it, Paul didn't do it, and Jesus didn't do it, who in the world are you? Because the Holy Spirit, about as close as Paul ever got was he'd say, turn from these dead idols to the living and true God. Turn from this to that. And the Holy Spirit says, you know what? The Holy Spirit comes and says, you know what? How many of you had a you know what? I don't have to get up here and define. Jesus didn't go to the woman at the well and say, you know, let me explain adultery to you. He offered himself. He didn't go up to Zacchaeus and say, let me explain what a thief is. He offered himself. I'm going to go to your house. And the guy goes, I've been doing wrong. And I believe with all of my heart that Jesus inside of you will do the same thing. Just love and accept people. Just love and accept people. Don't have some pre-thing. Because let me tell you, we're living in Corinth, okay? If you have it in your mind that people have to believe like you believe before you love them, there isn't going to be anybody get saved around you. Because that's so pharisaical. Let me just relieve you from this. From this pulpit. I believe the Lord's Word. But today many don't. And if I filter who I'm going to minister to based on what I believe, it ain't going to work. If I qualify you by thinking, do you believe in abortion or not? I believe what the proverb says, that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. I believe that. But how many women have the pain? How many men were involved in walking a child, an unborn child, to its death? And if you say, well, now that's a sin, and they already got condemnation. You offer love. And there'll come a point at which the Holy Spirit says, you know, a lot of that sense of guilt you've been, maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, and they're before the Lord in a service, and the Lord says, you know, all that sense of guilt you had about what you did back there? I just, as you're taking the Lord's table today, I just want to relieve you from that. And in the grace of the Lord, all that pain begins to just ooze out of their system because the Lord's taking care of his people. Right? You let the Lord do that. You don't get up in people's business or let them say, get up in their grill. You don't have to do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Tell somebody else, don't do that. Go ahead. Don't do that. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't do that. Don't be a critical prig. Don't do that. By the way, prig sounds like a nasty word, but it means it means one who thinks they're holier than you to your annoyance. To the annoyance of others. That's what a prig is. One who thinks he's holier than everybody else to the annoyance of everybody else. Don't be a prig. Amen. Don't be that guy. Because if you will do what the Lord did for you, for others, you will be a gracious person. I want a humble honesty to just rule this house. And maybe we could get in little debates about, I need Jesus a lot more than you do. No, I need Jesus more than you. No, I need the cross a whole lot more than you do. You have no idea how much. No, I've sinned more than you. No, I need the mercy of Jesus every day much more than you do. No. If you're visiting, look around. These people will have nothing on you. Just get rid of all that. Because where the Lord's taking us, He wants His love to permeate and offer hope where there has been no hope. I haven't even got to point number one yet. I haven't finished the intro. Good night. The Lord will graciously move you out of anything you're involved in. You have to don't qualify what you can or can't do for somebody. Just love them. Pharisees are so concerned about, oh, I can't get that on me. You're too sinful. I got to get that mud will get on me. And Jesus gets right in the middle of it. Your pastor may be in a few places you don't think are right. I'm just going to go places and be places. I want to be led by the Lord to go wherever He wants me to go and do whatever He wants me to do and love people genuinely and listen to the Lord to hear Him say things that they need to have said to them. I'm going to just start here. I was a lost case, hoping not to be found out. I was a believer in Christ, but I was bound because of a deep inward brokenness that happened to me as a kid. I was afraid that if people found out what I really was on the inside, I would be rejected even more than I rejected myself. This is me talking. The love of Jesus Christ is the only hope that I had because He loved me unconditionally, and He made me know that. And He made me know that I had worth in His eyes. He even anointed me to pick up the guitar, and when I strum it and sang songs to Him, He would show up and bring people in His presence. And I was still full of inward conflict and pain and unresolved things. I was an extreme case. I had an outward life where I lived the best I could, and I had an inward life of unresolved wounding and brokenness that no one told me how to cure. And yet Jesus loved me, and I was determined to get better on the inside. I began to learn that I could walk with the Lord, and I began to learn I could talk about what was wrong without being rejected, and that was huge. How many people that just need the time to be in a fertile, loving environment and a place where the Lord's presence is there, where before they're open, it could be a year or two, or three or four. And somebody just living, fighting all the time, you don't have to point out anybody's wrongdoings. Please don't. In fact, when I told this pastor how deeply troubled I was on the inside in my sins, I had placed in his hand the ability to destroy me. Had he been a Pharisee, I wouldn't be here today. But he represented Jesus Christ to me, and he put the high water mark of grace in my soul. And I cannot imagine not doing that for everybody else. Love motivated him to do that, and I continue to this day because of what he did. And he said these words: the pathway of sin is like a velvet-covered bear trap. All is well until you turn around and begin to come out. Then the trap closes and the howling of the demons begins. And so when I saved but bound, turned around to come down, come out, everything clamped down. And now I had to learn. Anybody here? Now, I needed a loving environment for me to get through all the scarring and all the, all the hurt. Are you there? Is this a real place? I believe the Lord's just bleeding for a real place. Where we get out of the way and let Jesus do what He loves to do. I was given much mercy, and I don't think you've been given any less. And I did start to come out I didn't, you know, get out of this till I started to learn what to confess and say what the Lord said and learned how to repent of it. But the American culture today is wounded and broken. But I believe it's spiritually hungry like never before. Amen. And they think their options are in all these things that they try out. They go try out this and they go try out that and they go try out this and they go try out that. And they might have run into a pastor that just damaged them. And if that happened to you, I'd get on my knees if I just want to repent for any time anybody didn't show you Jesus. Because pastors sometimes are broken people that don't manage well. The pressures are extraordinary. I'm still sane and I'm still here. And that's almost mind-blowing from where I came from. I should have left a long time ago. But God, right? Does our church culture actually reflect what it was like to be around Jesus? Does our church culture actually reflect what it was like to be around Jesus Christ? That's a good statement, isn't it? Here's a better way to say this. Do people feel that you love them, regardless of what they look like or believe? Because you can act like you do, but not really. Can you be around somebody and you have a conversation, you can feel they love them, if they love you or not, right? Do people feel that you love them? I'm working on this. Because the Lord's going to bring all kinds of people I never thought. Because He wants to reach people. Are you there? Eventually, we're going to get to point number one. So this whole idea about you got to give them bad news first, that's like mud management. Just give them good news. Number one, Jesus sees what we do not see or have not seen. Jesus sees what we have not seen, our value to Him. That's what Jesus sees. You see, when Jesus came walking along, He happened to remember Genesis 1:27 and 28, that He made man in His own image. And so there's an image down inside of you that reflects Him, and He knows it. And the riches of Christ open up who you are. Many of us have allowed our failures to define us. But the Lord doesn't define you by your failures. You can go for years and years in a particular pathway of sin and come to the Lord, begin coming out. And the Lord, the biggest thing He does for us is He defines us on the basis of who He says we are to Him, not on the basis of what we were. That is so big. And when that begins to happen inside of you, you start coming out. You'll leave all kinds of stuff behind because you have a new identity. Sometimes you got to leave people who define you by that old identity. Sometimes you got to get away from all that and be around the people who support who you really are eternally in Christ. You know that's true, don't you? Matthew 6:26, Jesus said these words, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." You want to underline this, guys? Are you not of more value than they? More value. Real estate people know this. Anybody that barters anything or sells anything, in America we kind of get away from this idea, but that next line on your notes there, the true value of anything is established by the highest price a person will pay for it. Amen. Because it was worth that much to them. Now just chew on that for a minute. The true value of anything is established by the highest price a person will pay for it. Let's say it again. I don't think you got it over here. The truest value is established by the highest price a person will pay for it. Let the bomb drop. What did Jesus pay for you? Knowing that you were ransomed, 1 Peter 1:18-19, from the futile things inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as
silver
or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You have no idea how valuable you are. But the highest price was paid. I just feel like standing here and praying in the Spirit for a half hour. Thank you, Lord. Etch this on the souls of your people. Cause them to realize their worth and rise up like never before, understanding the true value of what you have done to redeem them. I believe the Lord just put a thought. There are people today that will quit making decisions that they used to make after today's message, because you realize that's not really who you are. There's decisions that you will cease making out of the old nature today. Today you're going, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's not really me. That's not who I am. Praise the Lord. Amen. So be it. So I want to ask you a question. What would possess us to devalue people? How can we claim to follow Christ if we don't restore value to people that Jesus valued with his own blood? And I think it's just simply that point. Jesus sees us, sees what we have not seen. How many of you haven't really seen your amazing value to God? You're starting to. Number two, Jesus knows the root problem of our situation. Sin, self, Satan. It's very easy when you sit down to counsel with somebody to hear what everybody did to them. I don't think you heard me. But you never get better based on what they did to you. Ever. You get better based on what you do about it. I'll just throw this in for fun. When you take 100% responsibility for your response to what everybody does or anybody has done, that's the beginning point of your growth. Your response to what people have done to you. Jesus is really extraordinary on this subject. He goes, when they really persecute you, rejoice. He just weirds me right out. How about you? When they really get down on you, really rejoice. In all this bad stuff, rejoice. Be glad. How many of you need Jesus to work, to live with Jesus? You just need a whole lot more Jesus. And that's the point. That's the point. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the point. This verse I put here, whoever makes a practice of sinning, I looked up the words here involved, and this is really a great definition of the actual Greek words. 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. Isn't that an interesting thought? For the devil has been sinning from the beginning, making a practice of it. How many of you, when the Lord saved you, you started getting out of practice? You kind of like, you know, I've said this before, but you know, I just don't have the same heart I had for it before. I could just really go into it, but now it's just really a half-hearted sinner. Kind of lose heart. It's just not the same. It's hard to practice the way I used to. It's just, because I'm going to have, this is, it's like wallowing in the mud. I got to wash this off after I'm done. I thought it was fun, but I'm just losing this, it's losing this zest. All the guilt and all the shame and all that stuff that comes along. I just kind of, it's not as fun to practice it anymore. And let me tell you, when people come, what if somebody came in the church and said, how would you respond to this? Somebody comes in the church Sunday morning and they go like this. They look right at you, go, and you know, maybe a visitor been here a couple of times, say, man, I'm so hungover from last night. Well, how would you respond? Here's what I would do. Can I get you a cup of coffee? Value the person. Can I get you a cup of coffee? Would that help? Would you like a cup of coffee? Yeah. Instead of saying, you what? Pharisee alert. Pharisee, mudslinger. You want to be a Jesus lover? Can I get you some coffee? Come on. Are you going to love the way Jesus loves? The Lord's just got the sword and he's just going right in me. Because there are certain things in the culture relating to alternative lifestyles that turn my stomach. But you know what? I don't care anymore. Because here's the deal. When people do crazy stuff, guess what? Crazy things happened. Amen. And I don't know what the crazy thing happened. But I believe that love comes and somebody goes, you know this crazy stuff that happened to me? I don't want it anymore. It may take a year or two, three. God unravels everything. Look at your life. Has he done that for you? Did it happen in one day? No. Day two? No. We just beginning to realize, are we safe yet? Come on. And if there's a safe place, and you're in there a year or two, and you go, okay, I can leave this behind. How many of us have been bingers and fill in the blank? I walk with God, and bow. Like a dog returns to the vomit, you know, and come up, man. You know, let me just go ahead and say this to you. God's married to the backslider. Now, if he's not chastening you, then you're not a son. But if he's chastening you, you belong. You belong. Because the peaceable fruits of righteousness will show up in your life because you're a son. He'll take care of you. How many of you just, every now and again, one of us needs a whooping. I'll tell you right now. Is that right? Come on. Let's just roll up our sleeves and work this thing out together. Oh. I'm just having too much fun here. Hallelujah. Look at this. I want to just bump into these two and I'll finish quick here, but. There was this. He was teaching in a synagogue, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. See, Jesus saw that hell had worked her over. A disabling spirit. And you have no idea what spirit is operating in a person's life. And the Lord cast it out. He laid hands on her and a disabling spirit left. Now, some of you have not heard this before, but our precious brother in the faith, Leslie Kegel, his right-hand man in Sri Lanka was a dwarf. Leslie laid hands on him, and the spirit of the adversary came out of him, and he grew 2 feet. Now, that guy is a lifer. You can't talk him out of Jesus' power. He's the right-hand man over there now. And this lady, I tell you, she just sold out. You know, I stand up. I love Jesus. Love Jesus. The power of God is for when the power of God is needed. The power of God is for where the power of God is needed. It's not for show. It's for need. And people in the culture need freedom from imprisonment. And they have tried to meet their needs and have opened doors that they shouldn't. And spirits of darkness have clustered about them. And they're dog tired of it and they're looking for some help. And if you judge them on the outside, you're never going to be the resource. And it doesn't matter who you are, you can be anywhere, and when the time is right, and the Lord says, just tell that to leave. And you hold their hand saying, Jesus' name, you whatever you are, you leave my brother or my sister. And suddenly they're all freed. Because that's the mercy of God on my soul. I had a guy cast something out of me, and he didn't ask me permission. He just did it. And I said, what in the heck was that? It was amazing. My head, I got real dizzy, wanted to fall on the ground. I said, whoa, what happened? He said, I've been with you a long time. Apparently. Jiminy Christmas, I feel better. Then later on, he said, it started wanting to come back. He says, you're going to have to resist that guy. I'm just telling you how it is. He said, might come back in a day, 2 days, 5 years. He'll just come back. Can we have a home again? Can we come back? He says, just clap your hands together like you're running a dog off the property. And it'll leave. In Jesus' name, get out of here. We're getting a lot out of this today, aren't we? Because this is the war we're in. It's a spiritual one. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. Jesus said that. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They have a divine empowerment to them. They're mighty to pulling down strongholds and defeating these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Get out of here. If you feel funny just 1 minute, get out of here. If a foreboding evil comes on your soul and you feel an anxiety, get out of here. You don't belong in my life. It may be a voice. It just may be a sense of oppression. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Just say this. Cups running over is my portion. Go ahead. Cups running over. Cups running over is my portion. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I've got this other one here. A little boy. And when they came to the crowd, the man came up to him, kneeling before him, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus said, oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long I am to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. That seemed easy enough. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Listen to these words. Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith like a grain of mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, move from here to there. He's talking about the demon being like a mountain in somebody. It don't take a lot. You just say this, move it, get out of here. Move from there to there. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. You. Not Pastor Roger. You. I do it. I do it best I can whenever I can. I just always sense this. Everybody, look. Some people, love is just telling the devil to get out. Some people, the love of God is going to be major, major. All you, somebody shows up and tells the devil, you get out of there. It's the greatest act of love that they'll feel. I was tormented, I was bound, and now I'm all right. Somebody cared about me. Somebody came in with authority and did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. Somebody helped me. You see the difference? Person has need, to bring in it. They bring in their need. Help, I don't know what to do. That's not you going, you know what's wrong? You got sin. You hadn't messed up so much, you'd have all them demons. Well, how compassionate you are right there. There's truth in that. Because sin opens the door. But Jesus doesn't belabor that. You know why? Because he already died for that part. He ain't coming back to do that again. Jesus already spilled his blood and he got salvation for you and all forgiveness of all your sins, and that's done. Now, the Bible says, I was reading this verse, it says this. It says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he showed up. Because he knows what the root problems are. He sees in the spirit realm. Number three, Jesus has authority over the devil and imparts it to us. Jesus has authority over the devil and imparts it to us. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord has already come in the room to give you a sense of authority over your life. Is that right? Just saying the gospel and saying this stuff has just really kind of imparted it. Anybody sense a greater sense of authority already in your own souls? I knew the Lord was saying to do that because I don't have like a big flash bang in the pan ending here. I just like, whatever that is. But here's the point. He sends out these 72 guys. They go out and he gives them specific instructions in the beginning of Luke chapter 10. You can read it. And then they get out there and they're coming back in the thing that they love the most. It says the 72 returned with joy and they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." And then he says, "Nonetheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is just basically your right to rule over works of darkness. Because you belong to Him who all things are under His authority. Let's go ahead and love the Lord for a minute. Just lift your head to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for a fresh equipping of your Spirit upon us, your impartation. Okay, guys, there's some things that you're to speak to. Let's do that. Tell you what, let's go ahead and stand together. This is the scenario that's in my mind right now. There's things that you have. There may be one or two or a group of you that might have done this already. You've already repented and you're miserable about what you did, and that's already dealt with. You've got your chin up. You says, "I'm so sorry, Lord." But now it's time to say, "Hell, get out of my life." And that's the part that you haven't been doing. Devil, get out of my life. Run the dog off the property. Command it to leave. I've already come. See, the devil doesn't care how much you repent, as long as he can, as long as you don't renounce him. But when you tell him to leave, he's got to go. Are you there? So it doesn't always leave when you repent to God. You got to say, "Now, hell, leave. There's no reason you to be around here anymore. I've already cleared this up." Are you there? So it's basically everybody say, "Chin up, repent. Chin down, renounce." Now, some of it, let's go ahead. Whatever it is in your mind, just form that. So we reject the work of hell. I repent for involvement with this sin before you, Lord. And now in the name of Jesus, I renounce the hellish work of darkness from my life. Be gone from me. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Like a breath of like a gust of wind come through. Praise you, Lord. Well, let's just lift our heads up for just a fresh kiss from the heaven on her. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Let's go love Him. Praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. So I've given you the garments of salvation. I give you this mantle over your life of my authority. Just place it upon you. Receive this anointing to rule freshly over your life. Hallelujah. There's some husbands and wives, you just need to go home and just speak the Lord authoritatively through your house. Speak to those things and say, "Whatever we did in here, we repent for it. We now clean this house out in the name of Jesus." And speak blessing over your kids. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to dismiss in a second here. Let's applaud the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.